We've all known the pleasure of reading letters written by notable figures. Sometimes the figures are less notable than what they wrote. The circumstances of history or personal circumstance can make for some truly interesting letters. From the momentous, Virginia Woolf saying goodbye to her husband, to the mundane, Queen Elizabeth giving a scone recipe to President Eisenhower. There's just so much great material out there. Sean Usher's website and book are Letters of Note. The book is subtitled An Eclectic Collection of Correspondence Deserving of a Wider Audience. Sean Usher is a writer who lives in the United Kingdom. He created Letters of Note online several years ago and also runs the site Lists of Note, which he says he hopes is more interesting than it sounds. Sean Usher, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Your book flap bio describes you as a notoriously lax correspondent. Is that true that you don't particularly write a lot of letters yourself?
Well, no, I do. The problem I have these days is it's a sour point, really. I get contacted so often now because of my job, which is, you know, sifting through the letters of others, that I just physically haven't got time to respond to people. So it takes me a long, long time to get back to certain people. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world. Quite ironic, you know, that Mr. Letters can't respond to mail. But it's a pain. It's a real pain.
Well, as it happened, it seems like your interest in mail sparked a lot of other people to mail to you then.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm getting written to, I'm getting emails, letters. I'm getting attacked from all angles, which is great. And a lot of people suggesting letters for me to use on the website and in future books. So, yeah, I couldn't be happier. It's just quite frustrating, the fact that I can't respond as quickly as I'd like to.
So what started the fascination with letters? Were you a letter writer much yourself as a kid, or was it more about getting to read other people's mail that was really interesting to you?
Well, at the heart of it, I think I'm nosy. When I was younger, I didn't really write too many letters apart from, you know, thank you letters to my grandma after Christmas.
Right.
But if we go back to kind of 13 years, I met the lady who is now my wife. And literally 2 weeks after we started dating, she moved to Spain for a year with her university course. So for the first kind of 10 or 11 months of our relationship, we didn't see each other. And we kept in touch and we fell in love by letters, through letters. And it was at that point that it kind of clicked for me, and I realized just how powerful and important letters could be, you know, physical letters. And then kind of 5 years ago, I was working as a copywriter, and one of my clients, who was a stationery retailer, they had a few stationery shops around the UK, and they wanted me to write something interesting on the subject of stationery. I'd already written loads of articles for them already, and I was kind of stuck. I didn't know what to write. I was looking for inspiration, and I thought maybe there's a tenuous link in famous letters. I'll look into that subject. So I went to the local library, and I, you know, picked up these dusty old books full of letters written by the masters, you know, people like Mark Twain, Charles Dickens. And I was just hooked, and I spent days in the library, and within a week, I decided not to write about that subject for my client. But instead, I could do these letters far more justice by starting a blog called Letters of Note. And the blog was up and running within a week. And from then on, it just kind of snowballed. And I really didn't have to work very hard to market the website. The idea caught on really quickly. I think I was lucky as well that such a website didn't already exist, which I couldn't believe. So the timing was right for it. You know, just as we all kind of succumb to digital communications on Twitter and text and, you know, emails, it just seemed like the perfect time for a website of its kind. And then, as you mentioned, a few years ago, I decided to make a book of 125 of my favorites. It's been an incredible experience, but it wasn't really planned. I just kind of fell into it.
It is kind of hard to believe that nobody else had a website about this. I mean, there have been books of other people's letters for years and years and years. It seems like it would have been a pretty easy thing for somebody to think, oh, let's put these online.
Exactly. I was very lucky. I was lucky that people were a bit slow off the mark, I think. Had I not done it, I think someone would have done it within a couple of years, because it just seems like the perfect kind of website in this day and age, certainly. But yeah, I was lucky.
You mentioned falling in love through the mail with a woman who's now your wife. And I think that's a lot of what appeals to people about letters, is there's something that you put into letters that you don't really put into spoken language, that you don't really put out there in the world at large. I mean, you really get a glimpse of a person's interior through letters, don't you?
Exactly. And I don't think had my wife and I started our relationship normally, you know, at either face-to-face, this is not to say we wouldn't have got on, but I think we had such a good start because we learned about each other so well through letters, because we were willing to be really open and honest on the page. A lot of these things, I don't think they'd have come out as soon as they did through letters. Had we kept in touch through emails or text messages, we certainly wouldn't have got off to such a good start. When you sit down to write a letter, you're completely focused. You're in a different frame of mind than when you speak to someone or send an email. You really focus on the job at hand. You open up far more. Well, I do anyway. I'm far more willing to be honest, and also if you start a relationship, particularly by email, you're kind of expected to respond to another person's email straight away. Whereas if you do it by letter, you can consider your response over the course of a week. Your thoughts can ripen over the week, and that's what we did, and we fell in love that way, and it was the perfect start.
Have a chance to refine your feelings, as it were. We'll come back and talk more with Sean Usher, who compiled the book Letters of Note, an eclectic collection of correspondence deserving of a wider audience. It is the print version of what he's been putting up on the web for several years now. We'll come back and talk more with Sean Usher about the great volume of letters in his book and some of the great contents therein. We'll take your phone calls and emails as well. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Sean Usher. He's a writer based in the United Kingdom. He calls us from there. We're talking about the book that is the continuation of what he's been doing on the web for several years, which is collecting great correspondence through history. The book is called Letters of Note, an eclectic collection of correspondence deserving of a wider audience. You can join us here in the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about some of these letters. Maybe there are some notable ones you've run across in your life. From people you, maybe don't know personally, but have read. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Sean, when you choose letters, either for the Letters of Note website or for this book, and I'm sure there'll be the sequels to it, is it the who of the letter that confers importance or the what?
It's a combination, I suppose. I've basically got to the point where I trust my gut instinct. If a letter moves me to the point where I'm nearly in tears, then I would definitely use it as long as I can get the permission necessary. If a letter makes me laugh, then it's a surefire winner, I think. As long as a letter doesn't need too much context, because I precede each letter with a short introduction in order to arm the reader with enough information as they need to enjoy the letter. So if that's possible to do within a short space, then I'll happily use the letter. There's letters from all sorts of people, famous or otherwise. There's love letters, rejection letters, angry letters, happy letters. I try to It's an emotional roller coaster. I put on the website, certainly, each day I put a letter on there that's kind of different to the last. So I really don't want people to get too content. I want to shock people from day to day. And with the book as well, there's no real rhyme or reason to the sequence of letters in the book. So I've tried to really, chop and change each letter.
Well, I noticed that about the book. I was going to ask you about the quick shift, for example, from Queen Elizabeth in Letter One, giving her scone recipe to President Eisenhower, to Jack the Ripper writing in Letter Number Two.
Yeah, that was a perfect start. Well, I had to start with the Queen because it was just the most charming letter, and it's on beautiful Buckingham Palace letterhead. And then I thought, the only way I can really follow that and really kind of, make the reader kind of shift uncomfortably in their seat, is to feature a letter from Jack the Ripper. So that's what I did. And that particular letter was accompanied by half a human kidney. There's not a picture of the kidney, thankfully, but there's a picture of the letter itself, which really kind of adds to the experience. But yeah, I've really tried to keep people on their toes.
You do provide pictures in many, many cases of the original work here, which begs the question, how do you get a hold of something like a letter from Jack the Ripper or the final letter of Mary, Queen of Scots?
That's what takes the most time. So for the past, since 2009 when I started the project, I've been contacting archivists, museum curators, people's estates, to try and get hold of these, in some cases, very hardly seen documents. And that's what takes up most of my time, is tracking these down. But I'm really glad I did spend the time, because it really does add to the experience. Books filled with letters have been published before, for centuries. But never have I seen a book that's so richly illustrated with pictures of the letters themselves. And that's really contributed to the great response we've had to the book and to the website. Because you can see people's handwriting, you can see what paper they've chosen to write the letter on. You can see, their letterheads. There's so much more. It's visually exciting as well as mentally.
It really is. It's a very handsome kind of coffee table book. You mentioned the handwriting, though, and you can certainly tell by looking at Queen Elizabeth's different handwriting here, and different paper for that matter as well. The drop scone recipe is typewritten and annotated at the bottom in somebody else's hand. Can we take a wild guess that Queen Elizabeth probably doesn't cook many of her own scones?
I really hope the story's true. The story goes that she, Eisenhower visited
Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, in Balmoral. And she cooked, apparently, some of her personal drop scones. And Eisenhower loved them and told her so. And then a few months later, she saw him on TV and quickly remembered that she was meant to send a recipe to him. So this was her kind of apology and, her giving the recipe to Eisenhower. So, yeah, in fact, I wrote to the Queen, because when the book launched, we had a launch party at the end of last year in the UK, and I wrote to the Queen and I said, your beautiful letter, it opens my book and I'm just so happy, so thank you for allowing us. And I said, would you like to come to the launch party for the book? I said, we could maybe make some space for a table where you could prepare your drop scones to give out to the guests. And I didn't get a reply from the Queen, unsurprisingly, but I got a lovely reply from the lady in waiting saying, the Queen wishes you the best, and but she's busy that night. But that was a lovely thing to receive.
It's a very nice letter by itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was on Buckingham Palace letterhead as well. So that's one I've framed.
The book is called Letters of Note. Sean Usher's our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. He compiled those. He didn't write the letters. Obviously, we talked about context, whether it's the person or the circumstance. It's often a mixture of both. A guy I'd never heard of before, Bill Hicks, is in here. Bill Hicks' letter to a priest on freedom of speech. Do you remember this one?
Yes, I do. It's one of my favorites. And it was one of the hardest letters to get into the book, because Bill Hicks's estates are—they're very careful about what gets what gets reused in books of his material. So they really put their trust in me to do the letter justice, and they're so pleased with the book and the way it's turned out. So that makes me really, really pleased. But this was in 1993, not long before he died, and he Channel 4 in the UK. They'd screened one of his last gigs, and a priest who saw the part of the show on the TV on Channel 4 wasn't too happy about it, and he wrote a letter of complaint to Channel 4 and said, this Bill Hicks gig you screened was blasphemous. So Channel 4 passed his complaint on to Bill Hicks himself, and Bill Hicks wrote back to the priest wrote back this very impressive letter, very eloquent, in which he defended freedom of speech. And it's a great letter. Yeah, shall I read some of it out?
Yes, please.
I'll just read a little bit. After reading your letter expressing your concerns regarding my special revelations gig, I feel duty-bound to respond to you myself in hopes of clarifying my position on the points you brought up and perhaps enlighten you as to who I really am. Where I come from, America, there exists this wacky concept called freedom of speech, which many people feel is one of the paramount achievements in mankind's mental development. I, myself, am a strong supporter of the right of freedom of speech, as I'm sure most people would be if they truly understood the concept. And he goes on, and then near the end, he said, ultimately, the message in my material is a call for understanding rather than ignorance, peace rather than war, forgiveness rather than condemnation, and love rather than fear. While this message may have understandably been lost on your ears, I assure you the thousands of people I played to in my tours of the United Kingdom got it. I hope I helped answer some of your questions. Also, I hope you consider this an invitation to keep open the lines of communication. Please feel free to contact me personally with comments, thoughts, or questions if you so choose. If not, I invite you to enjoy my two upcoming specials entitled Muhammad the Twit and Buddha, You Fat Pig. And then in brackets, he's written joke. Sincerely, Bill Hicks.
It's actually a very charming letter because, I mean, he could have just said, you know, you dumb old fuddy-duddy, where are you coming from here? But he really took the time to try to reach this person, human to human.
He did. And I presume he didn't expect this to be published in the future. So, you know, the fact that he made it so enjoyable to read is a testament to his writing skills. But yeah, that's just one of many humorous letters in the book, but that's one of my favorites.
From the lengthy to the brief, we're talking about Letters of Note, an eclectic collection of correspondence deserving of a wider audience. The book is an extension of the website out there running for several years, both compiled by our guest today, Sean Usher. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I mean, if Bill Hicks handwrote his letter, probably ran to three pages. So that's the lengthy. I'm impressed by the brevity, though. And I'll tell you, this name actually jumped out at me from the table of contents. Bill Baxley, when he was the Attorney General of Alabama. One of my less notable stories in journalism is thumping Bill Baxley in the chest with a microphone when I realized I'd gotten his name wrong when he was Lieutenant Governor of Alabama. So the name Baxley came out at me like neon, but his letter is like the exact opposite of Bill Hicks' letter to the priest. Do you have that one handy?
I do, yeah, but it's so brief, but, you know, that's the beauty of it, so succinct. So this was 1970. There was a famous case called the 16th Street Church bombing case, and it was a racially motivated act of terrorism. It resulted in the deaths of four African-American girls. And Bill Baxley was targeted by local KKK Klansmen, and they threatened him in various ways. And they wrote him a letter, and he wrote the response, and it said this: Dear Dr. Fields, my response to your letter of February 19th, 1976 is, kiss my ass. Sincerely, Bill Baxley. And that's the totality of the letter. But it's just so perfect, and I'm so glad he chose to write a letter so brief.
It certainly stands out for it got right to the point there. That's Bill Baxley's letter to a critic for him picking up the case of the 16th Street bombing in Birmingham. We have a question here from Jamie in Medford. He wants to know what was the most confrontational letter he used in the book, you, Sean. Would that have been the Baxley letter?
I think it was, yeah. I've tried not to use too many letters that are fueled by anger. There's many letters I've decided not to use, but, you know, both on the website and in the book, that paint people in a particularly bad light, because that's not really what I want to do. So I've been very careful not to. But the Bill Baxley letter was just, irresistible. And I contacted Bill Baxley, and he was very, very generous, and he was more than happy for me to use it. But yeah, I would say that's the most confrontational.
All right. We have another call here from Bill in Arcata, California. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sean Usher, the compiler of Letters of Note.
Thank you, Jeff. I published a Darwin letter that Charlie wrote to a naturalist who had been one of his science buddies in England, moved to Indiana, and to make a long story short, the letter was one of a handful of survivals from the naturalist's entire collection of letters and a Midwest insects from the Chicago fire. The letter is an example of the mechanism that leads to illegibility in writing. Darwin's writing was so illegible that 2 weeks after he wrote something, he couldn't read it anymore. He had to hire somebody to come to his house to write it. And I was glad to see that you are interested in ordinary letters, not extreme love letters, extreme beautiful writing, that you often see as a kind of sentimental attachment to the idea of letters.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Sean.
That sounds like a fascinating letter. But I do have a letter by Darwin in the book, in which he, this was shortly after he discovered, or, you know, come to the conclusion of natural selection. He writes that it's like confessing a murder, because at the time it was such a controversial thing to say, that he was getting stick from all angles. So that's a fascinating letter. And I agree, his handwriting was pretty horrendous. So it was a difficult one to transcribe.
The whole concept of, you mentioned permissions with some of the letters, like trying to get the Bill Hicks letter released. I mean, mm-hmm. where do most of these reside, and are they still generally under somebody's control? I mean, certainly the originals would be, but I mean, could you have printed the content of these letters because they've been out there before?
No, not necessarily. It depends on the country in which the letter is residing. It depends on all sorts of things. If the letter is, well, generally, if the letter is over 70 years old, it's considered public domain. So you can use it. You know, you can reproduce the letter. But the majority of these letters I've had to, because as we mentioned, there's pictures of the letters as well as the text itself. So I need to get permission from the person that wrote the letter or their estate if they've since passed on. I also need to get permission from the person who owns the picture of the letter, which is often a different person entirely. So for 125 letters in the book, I've had to get at least kind of 250 permissions, which has taken, 3 years. But it's a difficult job. But also it's an amazing job because it's put me in contact with people connected to these letters. So I've been privy to stories related to these letters that I wouldn't have found out had I not done the legwork and tried to try to contact these people. So it's been a really, really tough job, but so rewarding, and the book is better for it.
Do you have people helping you with trying to make these clearances, these permissions?
Yes, I do. There's a gent who lives in the US, actually, called Frederick Courtwright, and he's a permissions director, and it's his, it's his full-time job to chase down permissions like this. He's been a great help. Had I not enlisted his help, this would have taken at least a decade, I think. But it's been a very enjoyable but quite taxing job for the both of us.
Let us take another call. We have Sherry in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sean Usher, the compiler of Letters of Note.
Hi, thank you. I just wondered if Sean had ever come across, I don't know, this might even be included, a wonderful letter from Benjamin Franklin. It was a condolence letter to the wife of a friend of his. And I read it many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. I'd love to see it published again.
And it was really the letter to the widow.
Yes.
Okay, understood. Yeah. Let's find out. Thanks for the call, Sherry. Appreciate it. Sean, does this ring a bell of some of Franklin's correspondence you've run across?
No, it doesn't. Do you know, I think the reason is Benjamin Franklin, as you know, he was one of the cleverest person that people ever to have lived. He was so prolific in his letter writing that he wrote thousands and thousands of letters. There's a letter of his in the book, but I've never heard of the one just mentioned. But it's certainly something I'll look for. He was such a talented man.
Is there an element as you peruse some of these letters of like, well, gee, these are things these people probably didn't want the world to know about them. I mean, when you read some of Mozart's letters, for example, which are mm-hmm. numerous. I mean, and he really did have a potty mouth.
He did, yeah. Yes, it's something I consider. I've held back loads of letters because, I presume they wouldn't have wanted these letters to be shown to the public, and I always try to get, I always do get permission from, the person's estate. So I do kind of cover my bases. I'm very aware of I'm very sensitive to the fact that people's feelings could be hurt, and I could compile a book full of scandalous letters that I've not used. I've got that many that I've kind of held back on.
Wow.
It's something I consider.
There is, it seems like there's more than a handful of cases that I know I've heard of where people instructed that upon their death, their correspondence should be destroyed. Is that a fairly common occurrence where you just don't have much of a record of the people who we know so well or think we do and yet could have gotten another insight that much better through letters?
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often, not to my knowledge, but as you mentioned, it's probably, I wouldn't know because I've not heard about the letters themselves. So, yeah, it's not a problem I've ever come across. But it's not something I've really noticed.
Much more to talk about with Sean Usher. He is the compiler both online and now in book form of Letters of Note. We have a couple of gems we'd like to have him read parts of when we come back on the program. You can join us, too. We'll still take your phone calls and emails here on the Jefferson Exchange. If you'd like to talk to Sean Usher about letters of note you may have run across in your travels, join us on the Jefferson Exchange with Sean when we come back from the break in a minute 20. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Sean Usher. He is the creator of a website several years ago called Letters of Note, and it collects correspondence that that really is some great stuff from notable people, or at least people in notable circumstances, through large parts of history. And the book now that is the companion to the website is called Letters of Note, an eclectic correspondence of correspondence deserving of a wider audience. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about these letters. Maybe you've run across a few in your time that really impressed you, things that stuck with you, which is what's been happening to Sean for quite a few years now. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. All right, there's a man after your own writer's heart in here, Robert Piroche, and you call his one, I Like Words. Do you have that one handy? I'd like you to read that one.
I would love to read this one. This is, I think, my favorite letter. And it may be because there are parallels, to an extent anyway. Robert Piroche was a copywriter in the U.S., and in 1934, at which point he wanted to become a screenwriter in Hollywood, he wrote this incredible standard form application letter, job application letter, and sent it to all the directors, producers, filmmakers he could find addresses for in Hollywood. And the letter was so successful that it got him quite a few interviews with different studios, one of which, MGM, took him on. And Robert Piroche went on to win an Oscar for one of his scripts with the Marx Brothers, a film called Battleground. And the letter went like this. Dear sir, I like words. I like fat, buttery words such as ooze, turpitude, gluttonous, toady. I like solemn, angular, creaky words such as straight-laced, cantankerous, pecunious, valedictory. I like spurious, black-is-white words such as mortician, liquidate, tonsorial, demimonde. I like suave V words such as Svengali, svelte, bravura, verve. I like crunchy, brittle, crackly words such as splinter, grapple, jostle, crusty. I like sullen, crabbed, scowling words such as skulk, glower, scabby, churl. I like, oh heavens, my gracious landsake words such as tricksy, tucker, genteel, horrid. I like elegant, flowery words such as estivate, peregrinate, elysium, halcyon. I like wormy, squirmy, mealy words such as crawl, blubber, squeal, drip. I like sniggly, chuckling words such as cowlick, gurgle, bubble, and burp. I like the word screenwriter better than copywriter, so I decided to quit my job in a New York advertising agency and try my luck in Hollywood. But before taking the plunge, I went to Europe for a year of study, contemplation, and horsing around. I've just returned and I still like words. May I have a few with you? Robert Piroche.
That's a wonderful letter. You can't help but smile when you read this.
It's such a beautiful letter to read as well. You know, all these incredible words. You just have to wrap your tongue around. But it's just so perfectly formed and so effective as a job application letter. And as I said, he went on to win an Oscar. So it's a perfectly formed story within itself.
It really is.
I love everything about it.
The Oscar was for the film Battleground. Let's go to Celia in Rogue River. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sean Usher.
Oh, hi. Hi, yeah. What a pleasure to hear Sean talk, and I love his website. I haven't, I'm so glad he's on because you forget about sometimes. It's bookmarked, but I haven't gone to it real recently, and so that reminds me that I've probably missed some wonderful letters. But I wondered if he had heard of a letter. It's probably one of the most powerful love letters I had ever come across. It was written by Sullivan Ballou to his wife during the Civil War, just prior to his being killed in the Civil War. And it's just so incredibly beautiful. I just wondered if Sean had come across it.
That seems like a whole genre in itself. Let's find out. Celia, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Sean, Civil War letters. That's a whole rich vein there. Did you have any in the book, or do you know particularly the one Celia might be talking about?
Yeah, there's so many beautiful letters written during the Civil War. But the letter just mentioned is actually in the book, written by Sullivan Ballou, who left his wife for 5 years and his two sons at home when he went to join the war. And it is the most moving letter, beautifully, beautifully written. It's quite a long letter. It wasn't delivered. He died a week after writing it in the First Battle of the Bull Run, with 93 of his men as well. And the letter was actually found in his belongings after he was died and then delivered to his widow. So it's the most tragic of circumstances. It's a beautiful, beautiful letter. It's on the website as well as the book, actually.
All right, Celia, thanks for bringing that up. We have an email from Scott in Ashland who writes, perhaps the reason the author found that there was not already a website devoted to this subject is that people who value letter writing, that is, committing one's thoughts to paper, often by hand, are by nature not the first to think of putting things on the Internet. There's a certain irony in light of the author's comments about the differences between writing a letter and composing an email that he would have chosen a website as the medium for reproducing those letters. It's a little like human beings creating a museum dedicated to all the other species they have wiped out. That from Scott in Ashland.
That's a really good point, and I don't know how to argue it. But no, I completely agree. Maybe that is why. I love the internet. You know, I love digital communications as much as I do, you know, analog communications. I don't think we should try and fight, you know, the advance of technology. I just think the marriage of, you know, old school letters and the digital world, I think it's a perfect marriage, which is why I did it. But I can see to his point.
Is the website as richly illustrated as the book is? I mean, for example, do you have Mary Queen of Scots' original manuscript there along with the printed text that is easier to read?
The quality of the letters, the facsimiles on the website aren't usually as good as they are in the book, because for the book I try to track down, you know, really high quality photographs and scans. So that while there are, you know, pictures of the letters on the website, they're not as beautiful as the ones in the book. I've spent far more time, you know, researching the book. But yes, you can tell the difference.
How many rounds of whittling would you say you went through, Sean, to get the book down to? I mean, it's a pretty thick book, but you said 125 letters. So, I mean, I imagine there are thousands probably that you would have thought of as candidates for this book.
Yeah, I drew something like 6 months before the book went to print. I drew up a list of something like 500 letters, and I whittled it down to 125, and it literally took me months. One of the hardest jobs I've ever had, actually. I just tried to keep it. I wanted a mixture of famous people and, you know, civilians, for the want of a better word. I wanted a mixture of, you know, different types of letter. I wanted some that were illustrated. I wanted some that were accompanied by photographs of the people themselves. So it was a really, really difficult job that I worked my way through, thanks to an enormous spreadsheet that gave me so many headaches. it was quite a task.
We have a phone call here from Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sean Usher. He compiled letters of note.
Good morning. Have you any letters, not necessarily in your book, but in their website, from Sir Richard Burton, the 19th century British civil servant of note?
Not Richard Burton, the actor. We have to make that clear. But yes, it was another Richard Burton, but a very notable one himself.
Sir Richard Burton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about that, John?
No, I haven't. I have letters by Richard Burton, the Welsh actor, but no, not the other Richard Burton, unfortunately. But that's something I will certainly look at.
Mark, is there something in particular you've run across that you wanted to bring to our attention?
No, I've never seen any letters from him. I know his wife burned everything of his upon his death, not necessarily with his permission.
All right. One of those cases that we were talking about earlier where they had the letters burned when they were done. Mark, thanks for the call. Tony in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with your fellow countryman, Sean Usher.
Hi, Mr. Usher and Jeff. I wonder if you include anything. I once heard of an exchange between notes, really, rather than letters, between George Bernard Shaw and Winston Churchill, both very young at the time, both successful, obviously, one as a playwright, the other as a politician. And it's reputed that Shaw sent a couple of tickets for the opening night of yet another play that was opening in the West End, because he had a few at the time already running. And Churchill, being already a prominent member of the cabinet, responded by saying that he couldn't make it at the time because he had affairs of state. And so he returned the two tickets that were sent to him. And Bernard Shaw then, Churchill wrote was something to the effect that maybe you could send me another ticket or two for a subsequent night, if there is one. And apparently, the story goes that Bernard Shaw responded with the promise that he would indeed send in more tickets at an appropriate night for him and a friend, if you have one.
That's a good set of touches there. Thanks for that, Tony. Appreciate it. Something you've run across there, Sean?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite exchanges. I've got it in front of me, actually, and it's a beautiful thing. So succinct, and, you know, two great minds working together. A lovely little joke.
Did you find, is the preponderance of the letters British? I mean, there's a bunch of American ones in here, too, but that sense of writing, the interchange between Churchill and Bernard Shaw seems like something distinctively British.
Yeah, but in the book, I'd say there's quite a, it's quite balanced in terms of that. Winston Churchill and George Bernard Shaw, you couldn't find two wittier writers, to be honest. And between them, they wrote thousands of hilarious letters. But that is very, it's a very British British exchange.
I mentioned this in one of our earlier broadcasts this morning to let people know we were going to have you on. But I mentioned a letter from Fidel Castro to the U.S. president. And perhaps not the president people are thinking. What's the story behind this letter from Fidel Castro?
This is another one of my favorites. In fact, you could mention any letter in the book, and I'd say it's my favorite.
Yeah.
This was Fidel Castro. He was 14 years old, and he wrote to the president of the U.S., Franklin Roosevelt, and he basically asked the president for $10. He wanted a $10 note. Really cheekily, and it's this handwritten letter in Castro's hand. And then at the end of it, he says, in exchange for the $10 note, he'll tell the president where their minds are. And then at the end of it, he also says, in fact, I'll just read it out. So he says goodbye, your friend, and it's signed Fidel Castro. If you want iron to make your ships, I will show you the biggest mines of iron of the land. And then he mentions the place in which they're in. But this was found in the Library of Congress in their archives not long ago. I think it was about a decade ago. This incredible letter was just found, buried under loads of other documents. But it's the most charming letter.
The matchups of personalities you don't expect to see letters to and from. I mean, there's a letter to Eisenhower from Elvis fans asking that he not be drafted into the Army, or if he is, don't touch his hair. There's a letter from Elvis Presley to Richard Nixon written on airline stationery. Fun things like that. But then there are the ones that really just blow your mind, like a former slave responding to a letter from his former master. And what did they say, each of them?
That particular letter you're talking of, that was written in 1865, I found that letter in a really, really old book that was hardly read by anyone. It's the most amazing, powerful letter. And when I featured it on the website in 2012, it went crazy. We had 3 million hits on the website within 24 hours, just of people looking at that one particular letter. It was at that point that I realized that this project really had legs. So, as you mentioned, the Jordan Anderson, who was a former slave, he received a letter from his old master, who was asking him to come back to work on his farm. A cheeky request, given the circumstances. So, Jordan Anderson, who at this point had started up a new life with his family, his wife, who had also been a slave on the same farm, and their children, and they were having a lovely life, all things considered. So he dictated this beautiful, beautiful, very restrained, eloquent, and powerful letter back to his old master. It's just the most amazing thing. And he also, within the letter, he basically says, "We'll come back. My wife and I will come back to work for you, as long as you give us back pay for the 30 years that we worked on your farm." And he does a little calculation. It's incredible. And then at the end of it, he says, "Say howdy to George Carter and thank him for taking the pistol from you when he was shooting at me, from your old servant, Jordan Anderson." It's just the most incredible letter.
That last sentence just really gives you the real punch in the gut. It's like, oh, wow, yeah. this guy's really gotten his message across.
Amazing.
I don't suppose we, and that Stephen King letter that you had to leave out of the book, is that something you can characterize quickly? We're almost out of time.
Well, it's incredible. I found this letter. I was searching for this letter because I'd heard about it for, you know, a while back, and I was searching, and I got hold of it just too late to put it in the book. It's the most amazing letter. He was writing to a friend in 1969, at which point he wasn't a famous author. He was a journalist working for a student newspaper. And he wrote this incredible letter about a snowstorm, and it's like something from a book. Do we have time to read it?
We don't, actually. I'm sorry. Is it on the website?
It's not on the website either, but I'm just at the minute writing another edition of the book, so hopefully it'll be in that.
Okay, we've given a teaser for the next edition of the book, then. The book is called Letters of Note, an eclectic collection of correspondence deserving of a wider audience. Sean Usher, it's been a real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Take care.